like Elizabeth and you're carrying around disgrace, real or perceived. Maybe there's something in your life that, if it's not creating a specific barrier between you and God, it's creating a barrier between you and others. Something in your life that is just building a wall between you and somebody else. And so you carry it with you and you kind of wear it around your neck. It kind of weighs you down. Maybe that's you this morning. But wherever you're at, I want to encourage you that this story is for you. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah," like a prophet, "to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And if you're writing notes, you can write this in. This is your first fill-in. The adventure of Christmas transforms our disappointment into hope. The adventure of Christmas transforms our disappointment into hope. I mean, what a day for Zechariah, right? So there's about 18,000 priests in the nation of Israel at this point. And so they cast lots, they draw lots, Zechariah's name pops up, and he gets to have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is the pinnacle of his career right now. Because once a priest does this, once the priest goes into the altar and offers this incense, he's never allowed to again. It is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So you can imagine, here we are, the pinnacle of his career. He's there, he's going to light the incense, and all of a sudden, this angel shows up. Unexpected? Sure, okay, let's roll with it. But he says he's afraid, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid. The Lord has answered your prayer." Prayer? What prayer? I didn't read a prayer. We just started the book of Luke. There's no prayer here. But you have to think about where Zechariah is at. And he probably had two prayers throughout his life that probably kept recurring, one as a man and one as a Jew. The first prayer as a man, especially in this time, would be the prayer for a son. You better believe that as he saw his wife's disgrace, as he endured his own disappointment, that he prayed repeatedly for a son. And his second prayer that he would have prayed as a Jewish man, as a Jewish priest, would be that the Messiah would be revealed, that salvation would be brought for his people. And in one day, in one visit, both those prayers that were probably so recurring, they were a pattern in his life, both prayers get answered. The angel says, "The Lord has heard your prayer." Which prayer? Pick one. "The Lord has heard your prayer. You're going to have a son, and he's going to prepare the hearts of your people for the arrival of the Messiah." I mean, that's so incredible. But here's the thing. You have to understand the important significance of this, because up until this moment, up until this conversation with this angel, right now the angel is just doing the talking, but up until this moment, the people of Israel have not heard from the Lord in 400 years. Okay, so we have the Old Testament, and we have the last prophet, the last book of the Bible, and the last book of the Old Testament, excuse me, is the prophet Malachi. And from the point of Malachi to this point is 400 years of silence. There are no prophets speaking on God's behalf. Nobody's hearing from the Lord. It's just silence. And then all of a sudden, in this moment, God breaks his silence. And he breaks the silence with the promise that that not only will Zechariah have a son, but the Messiah will be revealed. In this moment, God has renewed his work among his people. In this moment, the silence is being broken and he's active again. And Zechariah's disappointment is finding a new hope. Zechariah's disappointment is finding life, and what he thought was gone is now being spoken as going to happen. And for some of you, you need to hear that this morning. You carry disappointment in your life because of how things have turned out or not turned out. But I want to encourage you this morning that even in the midst of our disappointments, God is at work. And God is renewing his work in you. He's heard your prayers, and he's got something for you. He's got a hope for you. And that this Christmas, the adventure of Christmas, you can move from disappointment to hope because you understand that God is at work. Let's keep reading. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." That's tactful. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Here's your second fill-in. The adventure of Christmas transforms our disbelief into faith. Transforms our disbelief into faith. So Zechariah receives this incredible news from the angel, and it gives him hope. But just because he has hope doesn't mean he's exactly prepared for what this looks like. Right? So he hears that he's going to have a son. He's like, okay, but how? I'm an old man, and my wife, she's along in her years. Yeah, she's no spring chicken. Right? I don't really know how this is going to happen, as you say, because I'm old. And the angel says, like, excuse me, I'm Gabriel. Anytime an angel identifies itself, that's probably a little terrifying. I mean, the fact that the angel just showed up out of all of a sudden would be scary, but now you've just frustrated the angel, and now he's identifying himself. That would also be terrifying. But he says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I am the one that has been sent to speak to you, so you need to stop talking. Right? And Zechariah can't talk anymore. I love this. And at first glance, we would see Gabriel's words like a punishment, but we can also see it as an invitation. An invitation for Zechariah to stop talking and get out of his own way and see what God is up to. Right? I mean, the content of the angel's message is about the fulfillment of God's words, not Zechariah's ability. And so it's about God's faith in Zechariah, regardless of whether or not Zechariah's faith falters. But what you need to understand is Zechariah's disbelief, his doubt, did not disqualify him from taking part in what God was doing. Right? Understand that your disbelief, maybe there are things in your life that you're not sure how God's going to work them out. You're not sure what he's going to do. Listen, your disbelief and your doubt does not disqualify you from receiving the invitation that God is extending towards you to experience what he has for you and what he wants to do in your life and through your life and the plan that he's got for the people around you. He's always extending an invitation. We read this as the angel silencing him as punitive. It's a punishment for his disbelief. But what if the angel is saying, listen, you need to get out of your own way. You need to stop talking for a minute. Stop worrying about the logistics and understand that God is at work and you're being invited to be a part of it. And throughout the course of Zechariah's silence, From the moment he is silenced by the angel to the moment that John is born, we see him move from this disbelief to faith. Something happens in him. He starts seeing that God is at work. And all of a sudden, when John is born, later on in Luke 1, when John is born, we see a man who argued with an angel about being old to being a man who gives a song of praise and salvation and freedom. We see him move from disbelief to faith. But what about Elizabeth? What about the one who's publicly disgraced, the one who's barren and childless? Verse 23, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. And I love this next line. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. He has shown me favor and taken away my disgrace. Your third fill-in this morning is the adventure of Christmas transforms our disgrace into joy. The adventure of Christmas transforms our disgrace into joy. Zechariah comes home from his time of service, which would have been about a week long, comes home, Elizabeth conceives, and then she stays secluded for 5 months. We're not really sure why. It could be that she just wanted to wait until she had a nice, proper baby bump before she walked, before she strutted out, right? You just see this woman kind of strutting out like, you know, you notice anything? Right? You could just imagine, you know, that might be what she was doing, but honestly, we don't really know. She's a pregnant woman, so she gets to do whatever she wants. But she comes out 5 months later. I mean, could you imagine what people would have been seeing, how she would have felt that her whole adult life, she has been judged by people for something that she cannot control. And then all of a sudden, God is at work in her life. And she comes out and she's got joy, and she knows that the Lord cares for her and that he has taken her disgrace away from her. I mean, put yourself in Elizabeth's place. Maybe you can. Maybe you've been criticized or judged unfairly for something. You ever been there? Where somebody has said, well, you know, if you were a better Christian, these things wouldn't happen to you. Right? Well, if you really had faith, I don't think you'd be in that situation. Maybe if you were a better follower of Jesus, your kids would also be followers of Jesus. Right? How many times have we heard other people's opinions about our righteousness and how it's affected our life? So maybe you can put yourself in Elizabeth's place. Or maybe the disgrace you carry is of your own making. And it's very real. It stems from addiction or lust or greed or malice or poor choices in the past or something that, as I mentioned before, creates maybe a barrier between you and God, or if not that, a barrier between you and others. But this morning, this moment of Elizabeth is for you because God can take away your disgrace. God can take that away. Because God's grace is always available. Now, I want you to hear that this morning. So if you're taking notes, I want you to stop, and I want everybody to look at me. If you're on your phones, you got distracted scrolling, that's fine. Look at me now. Because some of you really need to hear that. Because so many times in your life, disappointment, disbelief, and disgrace has ruled your life, and you've thought, well, that's it, that's my story. But listen, listen to me when I say this. God's grace is always available. God's grace is always available. In your disappointments about life, God's grace is available. In your disbelief and your doubt, God's grace is available. In your disgrace, in those things in your life that would seek to bring you shame, God's grace is always available. At no point in your life do those things define you, or if they have defined you, at no point do they always have to be the definitive nature of who you are. because God's grace is always available. He's at work in your life. He's inviting you to take part of it, and he's extended his grace and made it available to you always. So as we wrap up this morning, I want to ask you a question. Where in your life have disappointments, disbelief, and disgrace defined you? And where is it that you need Christmas? And when I say Christmas, I mean the arrival of Jesus, the arrival of new hope for a broken world to transform those things into faith, hope, and joy. What is it in your life that you need the Lord to come in and touch and take you on an adventure in discovering his plan in the midst of your chaos? Where? What do you have? Because I want to encourage you, maybe he wants to turn your disappointment into hope. And maybe he wants you to get out of your own way. Maybe stop talking and experience a new found faith. And that he wants to invite you to lay down your disgrace, to let him pour out his favor on you, and to take that disgrace away. As we continue and we move into this series in this holiday season, that's what this series is about. It's about going deeper. It's about making Christmas something more than it ever has been before. Because we're not going to just let it be like every other Christmas. Whether we enjoy Christmas or not, we're not going to let it be like every other thing. We're going to go on an adventure. We're going to discover God's plan in the midst of chaos. It reminds me of the story of The Hobbit, book or movie. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of The Hobbit? The antagonist, the protagonist, the main character, Bilbo Baggins, is not a guy that is known to do a lot of dangerous things. He likes the comfort of his own homes. He likes food. He likes reading. And he likes to smoke his pipe. And beyond those three things, don't really bother him. But then this wizard comes into his life, and he invites him on a quest. And there's sure to be danger. There's sure to be peril. And Bilbo is really hesitant to go, but right at the last moment, he decides to go. He grabs his backpack. He runs out the door, and somebody calls out to him, "Bilbo, where are you going?" And he shouts back, "I'm going on an adventure." Let's do that. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what perils or what dangers might lay before us, but we know that God is calling us not to stay here and to go with him on an adventure this Christmas to discover his plans for our lives. Let's pray.